I think we're up to the Twin Simin Sadi Aleph. Kaz didn't read. Let's get moving here. We got a lot to do. We did. I don't remember doing this.
We did.
Okay. Fine.
Yes.
And we did the three shitos of. Okay.
We didn't do it very in depth. I have lots of one lines.
Okay. Sadi days it is. Fine. So Kasdan, go there.
Kadam the sile habasar kodam she tanu chayor mir tichata habasar asur v'achalav matar. Aval im ein v'achal shishim levatal habasar afilu yechbu shishim below kadam tilko kodam she tanu chayor mir ticha nam achalav asur l'rashi t'min b'mino b'mashim.
Right. What's happened? We spoke about this earlier in the year. This case actually. What happens here? The milk is boiling. The meat falls in. So what happens? No, well, maybe, but the meat is absorbing chalav. And the concern is, for Rashi, what happens? Some of that chalav is absorbed in the meat, and then what happens to it? It becomes nebela. And then what happens to that chalav? It then goes back out into the milk. And since now the milk itself is nebela, it osters the rest of the milk, because it's memimino.
Okay.
There is a question which we addressed earlier in the year, and we will address again when we do this next semester. Does that meat milk really taste the same now? There's something that came up in the shach about this. Okay, anyway, go ahead.
You mean you're saying it's about their time, but not
shema? Right, wasn't that discussed? This was a comment in the shach. It was something about that. Anyway, go ahead. Keep going. Right, so the bottom line is for Rabbeinu Tam, the even if the basar spits back out chalav, the total amount of iser, even if it spits some milk back out, it's not a problem because it is batal b'shishim. Fine. Okay, so 1 second. So you have meat cooking, let's say, in a stew of some kind, and some of the meat is above the liquid, above the water, and some of it's underwater. So a tipa falls on it. So if you have shishim in the chaticha to be mevatalit, the chaticha is mutaras, and if not, it's asura. The rest of the stuff in the kedera does not combine to be mevatal that tipa. However, the question is, what was the arrangement of the chatichas at the time? Upi reshri.
Upi reshri.
Right. You know, it's only considered, the tipa is only limited to that chaticha if the chaticha is totally above water. Meaning, it's resting on top of another chaticha whose top is above the water. So this chaticha is not at all submerged in the liquid. Then the rotev is not ma'arei to tipa throughout the pot. But once part of the chaticha is ma'urav in the pot, then the assumption is it's a conduit to the rest of the pot, and therefore everything in the pot is mitzareif to be mevatalis. There's, of course, a flip side chumra as well, which is that if it's totally above the chaticha, above the water line, and it's a large amount of milk on this one chaticha, and there isn't shishim in the pot to be mevatal, in the whole pot to be mevatal. So if, according to the read, if the chaticha is sitting on top of another chaticha, and it's totally above the water, so then that chaticha is asur, the rest of the pot is mutaris. But if part of the chaticha submerged, and the amount of milk that fell on the chaticha, above the water level, above the rotev level, is more than 1/60th of the stuff in the pot, then everything in the pot is asur. You don't say that the spread of the milk is limited to that one particular chaticha. Rashi Shita obviously is a kul nechamra also. Yes?
What would a bone count? Like, let's say it's a chaticha that's still partly on the bone,
Say that again.
Chaticha, it's on the bone. still on the original bones it was created on.
Right.
And the bone is under the water level, but the entire chaticha is outside the water level. Would the bones be
strange? Is that even possible?
Yes.
Bones are almost never like.
Bone is usually like contained within the chaticha.
It's also not going to be denser.
How
does it like, you mean like a rib steak, like where you have the bone on one side and the steak?
Right.
Yeah. How's it got a balance like that?
Or a lamb chop.
I know, it's pretty harsh.
Or a lamb chop.
I'm not familiar with lamb chops.
More likely the bone is going to be above the water. Bones are not very dense.
Oh, unless the meat is just on two other
sides. Okay, that's irrelevant, Danny. The issue is not whether or not we're going to live in the imaginary Matthias. We're going to live in Yehuda's imaginary Matthias world.
It's floating on the water, it's fine. As long as it's touching it. It doesn't have to be under the water. It has to be touching the water.
I don't know. Okay.
The Rashi Pirish Alfilim with Tzatzah Bo'edei Enoch on the Star of Chatzah Chalab.
And but at the same time, the Chalab won't aser everything else. Rashi says that you need the Chaticha. Rashi sheet is a little strange. Because Alfilim with Tzatzah Bo'edei Enoch on the Star of Chatzah Chalab. What has to be then?
Meaning Ruba? What if it was Ruba?
No, Ruba wouldn't be enough. Yes, in which
like submerged,
the
you're saying?
Well, then, yeah, and there's a problem then.
And how is it?
How fall on the chaticha? So the only way I can, right, you hear the kasha? It's a Matthias question. I mean, it's a definitional Matthias question.
How do you know it has to be Ruba?
That Ruba's not enough?
Why do you know he's not excluding Ruba?
Because Rashi's formation, afilu miktsasa berotev,
but not Ruba.
That's possible, but I think it may be that when you actually look at more of this, it doesn't work out to be the Ruba either. I think what you have to say basically is that the chaticha on the sides is completely submerged, but on top it's exposed. Yeah.
That's good. Okay.
And then the tipa falls on that. That's called. Go ahead, Morty. No, but the problem is then, what does it mean? Tipas cholav shenafla al chaticha. It went to fall on the chaticha, but fall into the rotev. The chaticha has to be exposed above the rotev.
Is there a case where we say, you know, tipas cholav that falls on the basar, and then Rashi says, oh, that's what the
yes, it's a mishnah. Atav kuches.
Okay, good.
That answers your question. Yes, that is the centerpiece of the whole discussion of Hanan is actually that mishnah. Right, so we haven't seen it yet, right? Maybe I'm guilty. I should have made you read all the Mishnayos, of the 7th and 8th, well, the end of the 7th and 8th Parakim, but yes, it's a Mishnah. So yes. Yes, go ahead. So if you, as soon as the tipa falls in, before it's, how much is miyad? We like to quantify things. What? I think you have a little more time talking to Dibor, but it's enough time for Bishul to transpire in a way that we say it's already mabushal, and not chleticha nasis nevelam.
Could you do that lechatzilah? Meaning, obviously, your thing didn't fall in lechatzilah.
Did you finish this section?
Yeah, I don't remember.
The Rambam says it. Well, the Rambam says, it sounds like the Rambam holds, it seems the Rambam holds that you're supposed, it sounds like you're supposed to do it to make sure it gets mixed up well, so it's bakal.
Yeah, we did see that.
Well, you can still say, I have to do it, but it doesn't look like the whole thing is
asin. I understand that. Right? The purpose of being doing the chatchil is to prevent the creation of basar b'chalav. Anyway, presumably, if you're supposed to do it, the reason it's a knas for doing what you're not supposed to do. So presumably if you're supposed to do it, we're not going to be konis you. Right? If you mix the teapot in the first place, and then you have to do that, so yeah, that would be a different story. But if it fell on the shogeg, so I think we would say that it's mutter to eat. Okay, so continue.
What does it mean to be mechaseh?
It means you stick a lid on. And the steam circulating throughout the pot immediately is an assumption to create a connection so that eventually the teapot will spread its impact upon the entire pot. And the entire pot has been starved to
vato. That's what Shana Filo, the Ad Sof, is going to be. Meaning you can't and then Ad Sof is
going to right. The problem is that the Gemara, you're going to have to look in the Gemara. You won't understand. Look, I've given you this only because I want you to, because these are concepts that are going to be repeated by the Torah. So I want you to, in our Simon, and therefore I just want you to have sort of a basic knowledge. It should be totally foreign to you. In order to do this Simon properly, you have to do that Sugya. It is one of the most complicated and it is one of the hardest sugyas, I think, you're going to find that you ever look at on Daf Kufres into Kuftes. Once you get it, it is incredibly rewarding, and it's a fascinating sugya. But you need to know that to appreciate just some of the basic language that's being used here, mitchila ve'atzof and so on. So
what is ve'atzof? That's until what point?
Until the process is finished, until everything is fully cooked. So again, you don't have, when you get to the Gemara, once you see the tales, it is not normally my practice to ask you to read things like the Torah and the Beis Yosef until at least you've seen the Makoros in their original. But the problem is there's so much here, and if I were, maybe in a perfect world, we'd spend the entire first half of the year learning just the Gemaras and the Rishonim, and then go on to do the Shulchan Aruch, but it doesn't work as, like we did Nida. It was easier to do the way we did it than it is to do this. In other words, here would be nice. The problem is Nida, and for the most part, each topic is a topic in its own right. Right? And once you know a few basic principles, you can do any simon virtually in Hilchos Nida without having to make reference to the other, once you have basic principles. But the problem here is you can't exactly do that. Right? Because every time a scenario is discussed, it's assuming you know six other things about basic when it's every simon that we've discussed does assume a certain, takes for granted a certain amount of knowledge of how flavor transfers. Right? It doesn't always come up explicitly, but sometimes it does, right? And then you have to know this. So that's why, right, every time we've had to encounter Hanan, if you think about it, right? Hanan is discussed in Siman Tzadi Beis. Right? I have given thought to the, I've thought over the last week, by the way, the possibility that the next time I would teach Yerah Deh is that maybe I need to do a couple of simanim of Basar B'Challah before I do Taruvas. It's just, it would be very confusing and very disjoint, but it might be necessary. But the problem is that the odds are that when you do the sugya and kufches kuftes, the things that you'd want to know from taruvos as well, basic principles, it might be a no-win situation. It might be a no-win situation. If the Torah had just bothered to put taruvos first, we'd have been much happier. He would have taken the chachmaso hagadola, he would have taken the parts of basar b'chol that were really relevant. Again, is Hanan relevant to Hilchos taruvos? Depends whether you hold like Rabbeinu Tam or Rabbeinu Ephraim, right? And since the Torah, we think, did not hold like Rabbeinu Tam, he might be excused for putting it in, he could have put Taruvos first without having to make reference to Chatech Anasas Nevela. Right. Anyway, all right, it's no win situation. Once you've learned everything, it's a win situation, but not until then. So go ahead. And that sof means until it's fully absorbed and spread around. Right, there's no opportunity for Hanan in the middle. It's almost like when the milk is on a journey, we don't allow Hanan to take place until the journey is over. So when the milk falls on that piece of meat, and it stops there, and left right now, left to its devices, it won't go any further, so that piece will now become Hanan, and if you stir it up later, now the whole piece of meat has to be calculated. Whereas if it falls on that, again, ask the Kash according to the Re. Right, when the tipa falls on the chaticha, which is chutz lerote, part of it and part of it inside, what happens first? It starts to flavor that chaticha. If you were to all of a sudden, 60 seconds later, you would take out your knife and you go, chop, and cut off the top of that piece of chaticha, send it flying onto the plate on the table, and taste it, what would it taste like? Basar b'challah. But if you don't do anything, the milk continues to diffuse throughout the thing, and then 5-10 minutes later, when you go chop, what happens? The piece of meat winds up in your plate. What does it taste like? Meat. You don't. Why don't you say Hanan there? Right. There was a point at which the tipa flavored part of the meat. Right. It has to always happen that way. Whenever the iser, whenever chalav gets into basar, even if it's mitzbatel, eventually there is a process of diffusion during which the beginning stages, there are parts of the meat that you could sometimes even identify which are going to taste like basar b'chalav. Later they won't because you were sochto. So the answer obviously is that when something falls in and it's osid lispashate, kala osid lispashate kipashu dami with respect to the laws of Hanan. Hanan only sets in once it's sort of stopped.
It needs like a hanacha.
What? If you would like to formulate it in those terms. Fine. I understood what you were saying. Morty? No, because at that, you mean initially.
Initially?
No, because at that point you've now ended the process and immediately becomes basar b'challah. Right? Because it will taste like basar b'challah and it cooked. Right? The question of Hanan is only when the process is over. So when you chop it off, you've ended the process. Now it's Hanan. But if you let it go and now it loses, now this Efshan the Sof though is Asar only after it's become Hanan. But at the early stages, before it becomes Hanan, if it's after the Sochto, and it happens, and then it's Mutter. Yehuda.
How does the mixing work? Because in the mixing case, it really would have made this whole thing Basa B'chala if you hadn't mixed it. So you're doing an action to prevent it from happening.
Right. So I think that you're doing it there before it actually is mispashel. So the iser, no iser has been created yet, right? I'm giving you the mushel that if you don't do anything, first it starts at becoming usser, and then it becomes unusser. But here, you're doing it before it ever gets the chance to really be kolei
tam. Well, it's really hot, so it happens almost instantly.
I don't know. So I don't know what that, they don't
does
talk about.
Depending on how hot it is?
Maybe. They don't talk, I don't think they talk about it, at least not the Rishonim, don't talk about what is called miyad. All right, miyad kishenaf al achel. Again, is it tokei de dibur, as Yossi wanted to suggest, or something like that? What?
Yeah, I thought we said that it's the amount of time it takes for
to become a vushel. The question is, how long is that? That might not be very long.
And it's the milk or the meat?
Both of them together. In other words, for both of them to become derech bishel aser tara baser b'chalaf. Go ahead, Daniel. Okay, so he disagrees with the Rambam, and it's based upon the sugya. You only have to be menayer mechas immediately, and then it will nature will take its course. The kasavod Rambam. Right, so here's the bigger problem, Yehuda. According to the Rambam, you're taking a big risk. Right, let's just take the Rambam means you don't know where it fell in there. Right, so if you presume if you knew it fell into one chaticha, what would you think the Rambam would say? Okay. Yank that chaticha out. But you don't know where it fell, so what does he recommend you do? Stir it up really well. And then you taste it. And if it tastes no taste of challah, then it's mutter. What if there is a taste of challah? A kvela taste, it's fine. I understand. But if there's a kvela taste of challah, what have you done? You just created a large amount of basar b'chalav. And until now... So don't just stop. Don't do anything miyadayim anymore. What happened, happened. Pull it off the fire, and you got to dump it. But if you stir it up, and then it's not, you're not successful in the bittul because
why
there was too much milk.
Way,
I'm not concerned about the eating. I'm concerned that you mavashal basar b'chalav yadayim. That's my point. The Rambam, if you knew it was going to be misbatel, there was enough meat, it's just that you're afraid of it being isolated. So I understand the Rambam's position. Be mavato l'chatchila so you're not bali day bishul basar b'chalav. That makes sense, right? That we're telling you to violate the Issa de Rabbanim, Mavat Mislachatchila, to spare a much bigger Issa happening. But if you're not sure that it's going to happen, you run the risk of instead of there being somewhere where you don't know, and it might even happen to Mela, the Tipa fell in, so you didn't actually do anything. It fell into one spot, just take it off the fire and dump it. If you stir it up and you spread that milk around, you may have now, and it turns out you can taste the challah in the entire pot, you just made a large amount of basar b'challah.
Well, if you look at it from another perspective, you'll say there are three possibilities. You do nothing. And it's either nothing, and it's for sure bishul basar b'chalav.
A small part.
For sure, for a small part.
A small part.
But all you do, mix it, and there is enough, then you've done no iser.
Right.
Or you mix it, and it does taste, which gives you done bishul basar b'chalav, which is the same thing that happened to begin with anyway.
But again,
it's
not bishulgig anymore.
It is, because you're trying not to. Come on. How can you say it's amazing if you're actively attempting to prevent bishul basar b'chalav? How can you say you just did bishul basar b'chalav?
Because, again, I don't think you need kavana to violate basar b'chalav, or a negative kavana not to violate it helps. The question is, did you cook basar b'chalav together or not? And it's an iser b'yadayim. It's not an iser. I don't think there's a chiyuv, to prevent basar from falling into chalav. Right? Let's say there's a cow dies right beneath a waterfall of milk. Are you mechuyev to remove the cow? Don't you remember that Hershey's chocolate milk commercial? Chocolate cow on a chocolate farm by chocolate stream. Never mind. Okay, whatever.
So your question...
Yes. What's that? Yes, it's sort of like, that's like the question of, what the cows drink. They don't drink milk.
Why not?
Water. That's called a calf. Anyway, it's an old line. You ask a person what's the color of the wall, what's the color, whatever, and what the cows drink, and the answer is they say milk. Okay, that's prime. We call it priming. So anyway, but if the cow was underneath this water, this chocolate waterfall, okay, and it died, and it was really high, and it died, and there was a fire underneath for some reason. Okay, that's why it died, and now it's roasting, and then the milk falls in, and that's now maybe derech bishul. Is there a chiyuv to remove it? I don't think so. I don't think there's a chiyuv to remove it.
But what if you were cooking the cow, and then the milk waterfall falls out?
If you did, even if I set the cow cooking, and then the milk falls in, I'm still not mechuyev to do anything. I didn't cook basar b'chalav. I don't think there's an obligation to not. You might not want. You might want to prevent it because then you have. It's better to do with isra achil than isra hanah. But
maybe from the rabbi's point of view, is that you had kavanah to do bishul. You were doing bishul, and it happens to be that bishul became bishul basar b'chalav. Therefore, if you continue cooking it, it's, you have a hemshah.
Again, this is what I would say, and I don't know how you want to, I'm not going to beat this to death. We can beat this to death later in the year. Maybe you'll forget and you won't beat it to death. You won't forget. Which is what, in other words, right now, in a certain sense, it is, you may not be able to ascertain, but it should be ascertainable based upon the quantities, whether or not stirring it now will be cooking basar b'chalav or will be mevatel b'tam b'chalav. You just don't know what that is. Right? So you're taking a risk that it's worth doing it right now, because maybe there's not enough milk and you'll be mevatel all the time, but it's possible there is enough milk, in which case right now, I could tell you, you're going to be mevashar basar b'chalav. I don't know.
So you couldn't tell them, because no human being could evaluate the amount of
time. I got it. All right, Liam.
When the Rambam says this, is he assuming that we have 60 pieces connected to the piece that's chana?
No, there's no chana yet. That's the whole point. The whole point is you're trying to diffuse the milk so that you don't taste chalav anywhere. So nothing is asr.
All because the process never stopped?
Correct. Right. Right. The fear is that the process might stop. Right. It just might happen that, you remember, the milk falls onto the chaticha. I'm willing to bet the following. If you pour milk onto one chaticha that's sitting just above the rotev, let's say half in, half out, let's say you pour on top the part that's above the rotev, and now you let it cook for a while. What if you had to bet, and you have 10 other pieces of meat in the pot, what would you bet the pieces of meat would taste like? I would bet that the piece that fell on, all the milk fell on, is more like, it tastes more milky by far than any other piece in the pot. In other words, it can diffuse throughout the pot. It isn't vada going to diffuse throughout the pot. Even according to the Ri, if you leave the milk, if a part of the chatich is above the rotev, and the milk falls on that, and then you taste it later, it tastes like basar b'chalav, it's asr min ha-Torah, it's basar b'chalav. It's just, the key is that if you stir something up, the question is whether it's nasi chanan or not. Because the milk can diffuse throughout the solution, and it might, but not necessarily, therefore, you don't say chanan. So the Rambam is trying to make sure that right now we're in a situation where you don't automatically say chanan. Not yet. Either because it's not mavushal yet, or because it's I would say the Rambam's case is actually where it fell above the rotef. I take that back. It fell above the rotef. So left to its own devices, what's going to happen? It's going to make things asr mishum basar b'chalav. Your job is to make sure that doesn't happen, which you might be successful on, or you might fail, depending on how much milk was there. Okay, so the Rambam says that again, you should stir it up. The eni mavin. And that's the question he's asking. And the answer might be is that the Rambam assumes that it does take a certain amount of time. And it's miyad. In other words, the Gemara assumes near v'kisa solves a problem. Near v'kisa only solves what problem? When it's chutz l'rotev, whatever chutz l'rotev means. So the point is, there is a value when it's chutz l'rotev, if you can't identify where it is, being menar or machasa. Yep. So that
v'libato
b'shishim mishar hachatichas afilu hachi. And in this sentence, in this line plus, or whatever, it's two lines. Now, without saying it, the Torah has uttered what principle? Of course, he has uttered chanan. It would have been nice if he had used the term, but what? Wait till we get, when we learn the sugya, we'll discuss that. We've spoken about it already, the possibility of maybe they're separable. But and that famous simen? Kovav. Okay. Fine.
Mark,
Right, the chaticha will be misbatel b'shishim, and it will be nisheres b'isura. V'im. If. Okay, and if you are not makir and it's not a chaticha with this kabed, how many pieces of meat do you need in the katera to be able to eat this chaticha? Three total, including right. Two plus the chaticha. Okay, because the tam is batel, and the only shaila is whether or not it is the yavesh biyavesh shaila now. What's the tam is batel? So if it's not a chaticha riskabe, so yavesh biyavesh is batel chad betray. Fine, continue. No. Somebody corrected you correctly.
Chalev.
Good. Right, that's the discussion for Kufav. And when the chaticha itself becomes mutter again, it depends upon, right, he assumes sounds like, not like the Rabbi, not like where the Rashba. Rabbi Natan Pasa.
Rabbi Natan Pasa, the Afra Shoisu and Efra the Self to Asur, the Afra Kishanetzer, the Milton Tom, Shalohaya, Behetu, Shishim of Batala Esser, Shanibla Bo, Aval Nesser of Mashu, Afila Nesser of Machma, Mino, Shoser of Mashu, who will be Huda, Lona, Say Kula, Nevela.
So you recognize that comment that Rabbi Natan distinguished between an Isser of Nesimus Tom and an Isser of Mashahu. Where did you get that from? You guys should all recognize that. That was the Tosas and Nafka Famanal. The problem with the Gemara, so the question is, why wasn't the Chaticha Rishona Asered all of the Chatichas? Right, so the Gemara asked that question, and in one of the Teirutz, and that was where the whole discussion of Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Ephraim began, Rabbeinu Tam had to come up with this chiluk, that you don't say Hanan by an Isser Mashahu. You only say Hanan when it's Oser Betamo. And Rabbeinu Ephraim, because of that problem and not wanting to accept such a chiluk, Rabbeinu Ephraim said, no, you don't say Hanan by Shari Sir. You only say Hanan by Basar B'chalav. Okay. Fine. Any questions about that? What? The Gemara, again, look at the Tosas on the Kofam and Aleph. Okay? There was a problem in the Gemara why you didn't say Hanan based upon the Isser Mashu, the first Chaticha. Rabbi Natan said it's because you don't say Hanan by Isser Mashu, only by No Saint Tam. In other words, if food A asers food B b'mashahu, food you don't say food B nasas nevela. But if food A asers food B b'tam, so then you say Chaticha nasas nevela, all of B is aser mamish. That's Rabbi Natan's sheet. And Rabbi Ephraim said no. What the answer to explain the Gemara is, the Gemara is talking about Isser Nevela or something like that, is that there's no Hanan by Shari Sir. Okay. What?
According to Rabbi Huber.
Well, whenever you have an Isser Mashu, Yayin Nesach, Tevel, Mimimino, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that Gemara happened to be Mimimino, Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. Fine. Now it is time we return to the one of the central questions of interest in this topic, which we are not going to discuss, and is not important for our purposes, but as a number of you asked me this question during Seder, which is, you didn't ask this question, but you basically, the answer boiled down to this kind of an issue. What is the connection of Bishul in different areas of Halacha? In what areas of Halacha does Bishul matter? There are at least four that I can think of. I need to sit down to systematically think about it. Where does Bishul matter?
Shabbos.
Well, let's start with the obvious one since we're doing it. Simon Kofe, okay, in terms of Isser Beheter and flavor transfer. Shabbos, where else? What? Bishulei Nachrim. Okay, spoken as somebody who might actually have a reason to deal with this question on a practical level. I don't know if you do, but I could see it being relevant, depending on, right?
You are the only parent in the shir outside of myself, right? So, okay, when you have household help, then it becomes a question, bishulachim. Okay, and there's one area, other area of halacha that I can think of offhand that bishul is relevant for. No, because that's Isser v'Heter. That's Blios. That's one of the major Mekoros. What's the one other area? Yeah, the Torah mentions the word Bishul in its context of the Torah. What? That's us. That's Teruvah still. Well, someone said, I heard it. David?
Yeah,
No, that's Teruvah. That's part of this discussion. It happens to be thank you. Karban Pesach may not be Mevushal. Thank you. Of course, except for the fact that the Torah says in Re'eh Uvishal Toviach Alta. But that's a famous resolution of the Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, Vayesh Bashlu Es HaPesach Ba'esh. Okay, which is an example of intra-biblical interpretation. I never remember. I'm fine. What's that?
I wasn't quite as annoying back.
You are not annoying. You ask a lot of questions. You are not annoying. Okay. I never remember. I'm not doing the survey. I'm willing to bet that probably just about everybody in this room who went as an undergraduate to Yeshiva College, Boston, could either myself or Professor Bernstein for the Intro to Bible. Maybe not everybody, but most of the people. So I never. I don't remember typically. You know who took whom. What's that? Don't get me started. But we love our SIM students here anyway. So I never know who took whom with which. But those are the areas halacha. And this is an area which is ripe for, I'll call lumbus. Not only lumbus, but thinking about what are the definitions in each area and do they overlap. The Gemara does in Avodah Zarah in the second parak when it deals with the laws of Bishul and Akum, which we will, God willing, deal with at the end of the year, because that is sort of our last set of limud Machale Akum. So the Gemara does talk about a little bit, does connect a little bit Shabbos and Bishul and Akum, it's a question that occupies greater discussion later in the Rishonim. But the question is, what is the connection between the Bishul and these various categories? If I had to wall things off and put things, I'll leave out Pesach for the moment, because Pesach is it might be sui generis. It's a gzeres hakasa b'tnei atzma. And Pesach is that you're not allowed to be mevashel, as opposed to you have to do roasting. In other words, there's a mitzvah saseh involved as well. But if I would take the other three categories and you had to analyze them, which would go with which? Which ones would be paired more likely, and which would be separate, and why? Shabbos, Tarovos, and Bishul and Achar.
That would be Bishul and Achar on the side.
But Bishul and Achar is because of Shash Chaver, which is not labor
transfer. Yeah.
Anybody else want to take a stab? I've heard everything stated wrong, but even if you state the right answer, you tell me why. The answer is Shabbos and Bishul and Achram go together. Not just because I just told you the Gemara draws a link, but what is the Isser of Bishul on Shabbos? What is it, Ekroni, what is its core meaning?
The act of cooking,
making it edible.
The act of making food edible, right? What, by the way, is the quantum point, the line that you cross on Shabbos making food edible? Machal ben Drusai. That will not appear, to the best of my knowledge, only one place, actually, I can get
it.
I know where. So there is, here I could extract from Tarovet. Here's where I would tell you that that Korban Pesach would also go with Shabbos. And possibly Bishul Basar B'Challah. In other words, it is conceivable by Basar B'Challah to violate the Isser of Los Hashem Nebel Hanimo, it might have to be Machol Ben Drusai. Could make such an argument. Why? Why is Taruvah set apart from everything else?
Because it's not about the act of creating, it's just where
flavor transfer. Correct. In other words, everything else is about rendering food edible. The reason why you, I go to the wonderful Italian Mamma Mia cook, and she makes such a beautiful pasta with sauce, and I want to marry her daughter because I want to eat there every meal, every night of the week, right? So that's chasness. Why? Because you bring this great food for me. Shabbos is also about that. Think about the cabbage with mitzvah, the yaflom, mitzvah, ralo, in their various complications and so on. It's all about rendering food and making it edible. That is what bishul usually is. Even Los Vashinos, bishul by the Pesach is also about that. How do you transform the Pesach from raw into to what we usually, most people consider edible? And even arguably, the Xeris Akaso of Derech Bishul Asotero could also be the way people vashu. But in Taruvos, it's, bishul is totally irrelevant. Right? I showed this to one of you, and I mentioned this to two of you in Seder. I don't want to waste the time to put it up on the board. Go search on YouTube for Fresnel Lens, F-R-E-N-E-L.
Yes.
Okay? And
no,
then...
That's what you're watching.
What?
F-R-E-S-N-E-L.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. I found that, I think, without it, maybe a lot of people misspell it. Okay? And go look on there, and you can see a guy who's taken this lens, which can be found in the old CRT televisions, put it in a frame, a 2x4 frame on a swivel, and you put it in the sun, and you get the sun's light, you tilt it so it's concentrated in the middle of the lens, and you could melt metal in seconds. If you, put a block of concrete, put a penny there, and it will turn it into, molten copper and molten zinc, actually, it's mostly zinc, in a matter of seconds. Right? You want to boil water, it needs just a couple of seconds, and your water will be overflowing, right? Matt is my witness, okay? And some of you, Danny remembers, and who else was, if anybody else was here for Shabbos.
Make hot dogs or something.
What's that? And you burn hot dogs. But the question is, if I learn how to master cooking a hamburger like that, are you allowed to do it on Shabbos? So I brought the video. I brought it to Rosh Hashanah. I want to say, I don't mean this in a chashuvly disrespectful way. I can't actually agree with what my Rebbe said. He said it's mutter. Because it's called Bishul B'Chama, which by technical parameters is mutter, but it's inconceivable that it's mutter. But what?
You can cook it in 5 seconds as
mutter.
Well,
Rosh Hashanah said, of course, is fundamentally correct, certainly as long as this is not the normal way of cooking. So not too many of you should do it.
So
but if you think about it, he said it's mutter to make a barbecue on Shabbos, cooking, grilling meat this way. You better learn how to master it. But my point is, is it conceivable in the context of our discussion to say, well, if you did the bishul with the Fresnel lens, then the tarovos is in dasa? Ridiculous. You might say it's not basa b'chala midaraisa, because that's not called bishul. Bishul b'chama is not called bishul. So the point is, Shabbos, and bishul enachum maybe, and when you learn the sugya, they dafka, by the way, bishul enachum, I'm certain that sli is considered bishul for those purposes, but ishun, the Rambam says, I believe, I think ishun may not be. What's that? So the point is, that it is bishul Nachman and bishul b'shabbos and even bishul basa b'chal and the bishul ha-pesah are all dinim and bishul. Tarubas is a dinim flavor transfer. So when we talk about whether kavush is kemavushal, which is why I started talking about this, right? When you pickle something and the pickling will transfer flavor, let's say between items or between the pickling liquid and the food. So it's shayach to say that on Shabbos you don't say kavush kemavushal. Midrabanan there may be in certain circumstances, right? It is perfectly conceivable to adopt the position by, which we do in fact, by Bishul Enochim, that the Xeira was dafka on Bishul. Right? It doesn't apply to Maliach, it would appear, the way we paskin. It doesn't apply to Kavush, it applies to Bishul. The Gemara says you need Eishin Dalf. Right? The Gemara says that originally the Gemara has a Havamina, it's a Doraisa, and the way they darshan the Pasuk of Ochel, if it's not doma lamayim, if it has to be mistakene de aish, then it's aser. So it's only exeged rabbanah, but aish seems to be a requirement. Shabbos aish is certainly a requirement in the Doraisa. By Pesach, you can certainly see how aish is some type of requirement. Bishul basar b'chalav, probably you need aish as well. By Tarubos, it's totally irrelevant. All we want to know is, and tam ki ikar means, whether it's the Reis or the Rabbanan, am I tasting the Isser in the Heter or not? I don't care how it got there. I don't care if they sat on one side and on the other side and a little malach came and took particles and buried them and made the other food taste that way. It's Isser. So this discussion is specifically really going to take place, should be seen, in the realm of of tarulos and the absorption of flavor. There is a problem with it. Yes, Gail?
So wait, if you did this in like a pot, the pot, and then could you cook part of things in that pot?
If you did what?
Cooked with the sun, this land, in a pot, cooked by Sebacha. Could you cook part of things in that pot subsequently?
The answer is probably yes.
Even the, couldn't you argue the cooking will cook the two things that's in the walls of the pot together and make them into masa b'chala?
Probably yes, too. Okay. I'm going to say one thing. Do not ask any questions. Do not comment further. What's the din on Shabbos if you take the food that you cook in the sun and it is a mahushal and it is machal ben ursai and you cook it again? Is that awesome in the Torah or not? Islam or not?
You keep saying machal ben ursai. I thought we hold this called sarkar.
I don't care. There are Rishonim who hold that it's Machal Ben Drusai. I don't care. It doesn't.
Okay.
Stop talking me on the irrelevant, okay? I'm not. It's awesome to do any of that on Shabbos. It doesn't matter. So my question is, if there's no Bishalach or Bishal there, then if it is. In other words, I can argue that it's called Mavushal. Now, you could say Basa Machalav is different. Because right? We said, by Basa Machalav, if you do other forms to it, then you cook it. Maybe it is. That's a separate discussion. Assuming that it's really called Mavushal, maybe not. Then you can have your bathway. Or not. Okay, so now. Now, with that introduction, let's talk about Kavush. We know that Kavush is from Kavusha. How do we know that?
Gemara says it. Where does the Gemara say Kavush from Kavusha?
Sadi
Zion and Beis. We saw that Gemara early on. The question is, what is the definition of Kavush from Kavusha? Oh, I'm sorry. You interrupted me. I want to take one other comment. There's one, in light of what I just said, there's one peladikadin in this simon, which the Rashba really does away with. But the Tor does not subscribe to, and neither does the Ramah at the end of the day. If, in fact, on Shabbos there's a din that there's no bishul but klisheni. There is very clearly a machlokas ha'achronim as to whether that's a din in mitzias or a din in halacha. The tradition, and I don't know, I don't know that understand the shita fully, and I don't follow the shita. My Rebbe does, but the Rav's position, or Chaim's position, is that there's no bishul b'klisheni period, which is why the Rav and a Moshechta make tea in a klisheni. It is a shita that many of you maybe never, some people never heard of, so much so that when Moshechta's oldest daughter was in Mechlala, and they were learning the halacha, Hilchas Bishul, and the teacher said, nobody holds you can make tea in a klisheni on Shabbos. And she raised her hand and said, in my house they do. And the teacher didn't believe her. But she was correct. No, Rav Shechta holds klisheni, like the Rav, like the B'chaim. I wouldn't even do klisheni or klisheni. Yes.
I get lots of
unmixed
from tea.
What?
I get lots of
unmixed
Shabbos from having tea.
Therefore, make tea essence before. Make tea essence before, and then you can mix it. You can put hot water in a cliche, and you can mix the tea essence, and that's fine. So I know that it's partially din mitzias. At least I said there's a machlokes because both the Aruch HaShulchan and the Mishnah Brura assume as a given that tea in a cliche is a chiyuv chatas. Not just us; it's a chiyuv chatas. I'm not being magzim when I describe it that way. It's called Kaleh Bishul. It's based upon a Mishnah and Shabbos. I don't know how, I'm not sure how the Rav dealt with the particular Mishnah. Kulias Ispin and Mishnah. It's not in the Sugyas in the third parak. It's like, I don't know, Kuf Mems or something like that. Kulias Ispin and Dagmar Liach. By Shahada Hasan Zoe Gmar Balach. I'm not interested in exploring that. But the question is, if Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni are Dinim in Mitzias, then it is possible that they play a role in Simon Kufay. But if they are not Dinim in Mitzias, then if they're a din, it's a din. It's a category. Klisheni eni mevashel. Then it has absolutely, totally no relevance in Simen Kofei. Because Simen Kofei, every time someone argues something about something being metaphysical, one word pops into your head. When someone starts to tell you in Yeridea, it's a din rather than a metzias. What's the one word that always pops into your head? Kefela. That's the tifta to all those approaches. Kefela. Kefela. Kedera shebishel babasel evashel bachala vibishel beno saintam. And the Gemara says, Kefela.
Maybe it's because Ashkenazim hold that it's a din in metaphysics,
You mean it changed when you mean, well, you know, they say, that they ask Akasha, that apparently the Gra attacked the Rambam for saying there were no Shadim. How can you say there were no Shadim? So one of the Achronim came afterwards and said, no, because the Rambam, when he said that there were Shadim, the Shadim ceased to be. So you're going to tell me when the Ramah wrote in the Shulchan Aruch that we don't rely upon a Kfela, so then your idea turned from being physical into metaphysical.
Okay. I thought that was a joke. Are there actually Achronim
who
say that?
Who say what?
Are there actually Achronim that the Shadim stopped who say that?
About the Shaitan?
Yeah.
Yes, someone says that after the Gra attacked the Rambam. Yes, I don't know who said
that.
Not as a joke.
Okay.
Not as a joke.
Okay.
I meant seriously.
Okay,
I don't take it seriously. I think the Rambam was right in the first place. You know, but no, I don't think the Shaitan ceased to be after the Rambam declared them no longer to be. Right? So anyway, don't ask me about the Rambam. So there are people who have suggested metaphysical bias. I think it's totally incorrect. Right, even Afilu and Tim Salomar, that there are people who claim that we don't have a good enough sense of taste today anymore. I think that's nonsense also. But even Naniach that, you can't say that about the Shulchan Aruch. That the Shulchan Aruch is still holding of Te'ima. Both the Mechaber and the Ramah both hold of Te'imas Yisrael. And the Mechaber holds of Te'imas Kfela. So if in fact Tom fell off the cliff, it happened in the last 500 years, not the last 400 years, you know, not for the Rishonim. So you can't explain the whole discussion of Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni if you're speaking in halachic categories as opposed to Metzias categories. Yeah?
So then why do they refer to it as Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni?
So they're borrowing from Shabbos, but again, so even in Hilchos Shabbos, there's a famous Tosfos, which we're going to see in Hilchos Pasa B'Chalav. I point out that the Shach, it's one of the few, that the Shach, there's a famous Chumrah of the Marshal, which the Ramah and the Mechaber reject B'Shtei Yadayim, and the Shach and other Achronim resuscitate. But the Raya the Shach brings is wrong. He got Tosfos backwards. The Chumrah of the Marshal is that a hot piece of meat, when you take it off the fire, is a Kli Rishon. Why? So a liquid, when you pour it out of the Kli Rishon, that's a Kli Sheni. But why is the solid not a Kli Sheni now, once it's off the fire? Even if it's, let's say it was in a pot on the fire, and you pull it out and you put it on a plate, he says that's considered a Kli Rishon. And as long as it's Yad, so lettuce, but it has the din of Kli Rishon. Why? So Tosfos in Shabbos, in Parakira, asked the question, why is a Kli Rishon different than a Kli Sheni? If they're both Yad, so lettuce, but what difference does it make? So Tosfos says, so the way they quote Tosfos is that a Kli Rishon doesn't have walls that cool it down, whereas a Kli Sheni has the Fanos, which are Mekabaros. And since there are no walls around this food, the solid food, it's called a Davar Gush. Nothing to do with the yeshiva. Okay, it's called a Davar Gush, a solid, as opposed to a something that's liquidy. And so the Chumrah of the Marshal and Davar Gush is that since you don't have the Fanos Amakaros, therefore it retains the heat, and therefore it's like a Kli Rishon. The problem is that the Marshal could argue in Tosfos, but the Shach refers you to Tosfos, but he got Tosfos backwards. Tosfos says exactly the opposite. Tosfos says that the reason why a Kli Rishon is Mevashel and a Kli Sheni is not Mevashel, despite that both Miyatzel Ledes, is because a Kli Rishon has Tefanos HaMachamamos, but a Kli Sheni does not. It's Holech Umiskarer. And which is the reverse. It's not that the Kli Sheni has walls that cool down, it's that the Kli Rishon has walls that continue to heat it up, which in some sense is true. In other words, you have boiling hot walls of the pot, it slows the heat loss. I mean, we would say it doesn't usually, it could add heat, but it's not likely in the context of the pot to be adding heat, but it prevents the slowdown because the walls are still very hot. Take a cast iron pot, you'll certainly understand that. Whereas when it comes to, I never done this because we don't have a cast iron pot, but given what I know about cast iron pots, said once you have the pot all hot and the food all hot in it, it will probably, if you cover it, stay hot a very long time. Because those things really hold their heat in a way different than, you know, most of our pots, which once you take them off the fire and empty the food, they cool down pretty relatively quickly. So the point is that a Kli Sheni doesn't have walls that have heat that can really slow down the loss. And that's true as well for a Davar Gush that's standing in the air. But that Tosfos, I mentioned that Tosfos because that Tosfos clearly assumes that the categories of Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni are Metzias. So the only way Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni can make sense in Siman Kuf Hei is if you're assuming there are as a Metzias issue. It is very, very, very hard to understand the the Gemara's position in the first place. Kli Rishon being different than Kli Sheni, unless the argument is that you're not talking about what we call Kalei HaBishul. Like the reason why some the Mishnah Bura, the Aruch HaShulchan Amach Meron Kli Sheni, is dafka by Kalei Abishal, things that cook really quickly. Right? I think it's fair to say that if you take a tavshil off the fire, and now you put a piece of meat into the tavshil, you know, a piece, not just a thin slice, you know, a piece, a chunk of meat, it may not cook, because by the time, the amount of heat you would need to cook that meat and the time you need to heat it, the heat will already started to dissipate. And a Kli Rishon, it's going to take longer for that to happen. If any see the Ran yet, let me digress a moment. When you're doing the Simen, please, after you do an Os of Mayer Mekomos, do the Os in the Torah in the Beis Yosef. That's why I've broken it down like this. So if you look, there's a sheet of the Ran. What is the definition of a Kli Rishon? Normally we say, what's a Kli Rishon, Reuven? What was the, let me hear your sentence carefully again. So you mean to say the Kli that is over the flame and even after you turn it off or take it off?
Yes.
Right. So the Ran disagrees with that. He says that it's only called the Kli Rishon when it's removed from the fire. For most purposes, it's worse when it's still on the fire. He just points out in the Gemara and Shabbos, the Gemara says that salt doesn't cook even in the Kli Rishon, according to one Lashon. Right? There's a Machlokes. Tavlin cook in a, don't cook in a Kli Sheni, but they cook in a Kli Rishon. Is salt better than Tavlin or worse than Tavlin? It's not the same as Tavlin. So they say that one of the Amarim says is that Milcha is by Bishula Kibisra the Torah or something like that. It requires cooking like the meat of a cow. So the Ram points out, if you put salt on the fire, it's going to cook. The whole point is that in a Kli Rishon, it doesn't cook, which means a Kli which has been removed from the fire. So you're right, Reuven, for most purposes, it's not that no distinction is made, but the Ran does distinguish in terms of what the terminology means. Judah.
Is the Ran saying that Kli Rishon is what other Rishon would call Kli Sheni?
No. He's just saying, usually we tend to think that we say in a Kli Rishon it means either on or off the fire. A Kli Rishon off the fire means a Kli that was on the fire and then you took it off,
right,
but it's still in that same Kli. That's the point, second one. The Ran says technically Kli Rishon is only the Kli that was on the fire after you took it off. On the fire is even worse, theoretically. So it, in most cases, it doesn't necessarily matter. But in those, if you have something that requires so much bishul, like salt, that would not cook in a Kli Rishon, it will cook al gabei ha'ish. That's all. For our purposes, it won't matter. A Kli Rishon is certainly mavli and maflit. Okay. Now, another ha'ara here, which is, and this, I think, goes to the heart of the question, it is not important in Hilchos Tarovos, in theory, that something be mevashel or mevushel. What is important? Again, flavor transfer. Therefore, it is conceivable to have something which is not called bishul, but it's still asr. I mentioned this case. I have, I still can't wrap my mind around it, but I guess it makes sense. Is the question I brought to Rav Shechter 4 years ago when someone told me they left stuff in the fridge open, and I forget
the chocolate
and the turkey, and the chocolate tasted like it, even though there had been no physical contact. And the answer is that the chocolate is that, well, if it were milk, it's now usher, and otherwise it would be fleishik. And the answer is why? Why? The answer is because flavor transferred somehow. Did I do bishul? No. Did I do maliach? No. Did I do kavush? No. The answer is the flavor transfer, so who cares? It's still awesome. Matt?
I just wanted to expand that a little bit more, because it's the fact that the flavor transfer, not that there's that taste.
No. It's a, how does, why does food A taste like food B? No, I agree. It's because B got into A. And you, B got into A and you can taste it. And I don't really care how that happened. Morty? Only time I care how that happened in Tarovis fundamentally is by Bishul Basa B'chala. Why does it matter whether it's Bishul or not if it's Asr to eat? And therefore, what Lamaisa though, the Garabanan will go around it. So there's an important klal in Basar B'chala. What's the very important klal? The Torah will mention it in the Beis Yosef, in the first Simen of Basar B'chala, Pezayin. Anything that's only Basar B'chala mid the Rabbanan is Mutter B'Bishul and Mutter B'Ana. It's only Asr B'Achila. Whereas if it's Asr min HaTorah, then obviously Lo Sav Hashel, Echad Asar Achila, Echad Asar Ravet, Echad Asar Bishul. So that's why it's very important to know. It's very important to know whether what you're dealing with is Basa B'chal of the Raisa, Basa B'chal of the Rabbanim. Which, again, just for your curiosity and interest, I think I mentioned the Shaila, student of mine, to his wife. had gone to culinary school. She did baking, not cooking. Cooking would have been too hard for a firm person with the basa b'chala v'shus. But the question was, is there an isser? Was she allowed to be involved in some type of a food show in, you know, let's say carrying the food in, you know, for show when it might have been basa b'chala? And the problem is that if it's basa b'chala, you can't be carrying, you can't be misasek in it either. And the answer partially, that's when I asked Rav Shechter, could we rely upon the famous Nekuda Nifla of the Rambam?
But what's wrong with carrying it? You're getting
it? Yeah. Yeah, you're not allowed to rent out your chamor to be molech upon it, Yayin Nesach. It's the first Mishnah in the fifth parakh of Avodah Zarah.
Not because you're getting paid for it. She was getting paid for the same thing. She
yes, it was a job. Yes. Right? So in other words, if you're a courier, you can't transport Basar B'chalav. So the question was, could you rely upon the Rambam's Nekuda Nifla? The Rambam's Nekuda Nifla is that when you take nevela meat and you cook it in milk, the bishul is asur min haTorah, but there's no isur hana. There's no isur hana because there's no isur achila basa b'chala because it's already asur mishum nevela. And ain't isur chala isur. It's a famous passage in the Rambam. In his Perush HaMishnayos in Krisus. And after he gives you the klalim of isur chala isur, there's a problem with it, but that is the Rambam Shita. And it's quoted by the Nevi Yehuda and the Dogomer Vava on the side of the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Pei Zayin, and maybe in the Pischei Tshuva too, and that's the whole discussion. So if it's this is the case, it's Asim and Ator Levasho, but there's no Isser Torah on the Achila of Basa B'chalav, and therefore there's no Isser Hana of Basa B'chalav. Could she in fact take such a job? That was the question. So the answer was, Memakom Hefse, it was a time, it was during the big recession, and she was having a hard time finding work, so that's a Hefse Merubah, and then it would be Mutter. Right. Once you could find a job that didn't entail doing this, then it would be a more appropriate choice. But there's a time where it wasn't so easy to find a job. So yeah, there you go. So that's why it's important to know. So outside of basa b'chalav, I don't care how the flavor transfers. There's no derech bishul that's an issue. Liam?
Quickly going back to the case of the refrigerator.
Yeah.
When the Chacham said, well, it's on the focus, but the Chacham that said that rechalav milsahid, does the refrigerator like facilitate like
Recha
more than...
So I don't know. So I'm still stuck on that. I haven't quite... Let me put it to you this way. I'm going to be moda to you. I'm still sitting on the fence on that one. Right? I will not make the tea. I will not make the tea in a cliche in a shlishi revi. And at the same time, I'm not convinced. I still wouldn't eat the chocolate at that point, but I'm not convinced. See, the problem, here's what I'm stuck with. You're asking an excellent question. La Milsa seems to be halacha category. I know in Mitzias that the way flavor transfers is that particles transfer. Now, normally we might say, the question I guess would be, is in when you're tasting the chocolate, are you smelling the turkey or are you tasting the turkey? Which, from a chemical perspective, is probably a product simply of how much turkey there is. You know, I don't know, I've never experimented, if you hold your nose while you eat food, it will not taste the same. That's why food doesn't taste the same, you have a cold. But the question is, if you hold your nose, you'd still be able to probably taste its chocolate, could you taste the turkey then? That would be the question. Right, so the answer is if I could taste the turkey and not just the smell, that's not reich anymore, that's not what the Gemara was talking about. Right? It's a great question, I have to comment at your category. Warner, you had a question?
I was just going to point out that when we're saying that this is Mitzias, we're not talking about any Yisrael Rabbanah.
Correct. That's it. Remember, we're in a new unit now. Ad kan medinim of bittul. Medinim of bittul, except for when you talk about nesinas tam, except when you say nadam no sein tam, dinim of bittul are exeris akasav. I mean, we understand exeris akasav, but it's exeris akasav. We are now in the business of flavor transfer. That's what I said. Kofei through kofches is the business of flavor transfer. We touched upon flavor transfer a little bit, but not the mechanisms of transfer. It's once something would be have the taste of Isser, then you can talk about Hanan. Right? But for the most part, Hanan's going to come up in the Siman. It probably is hardly a Siman it doesn't come up in. Right? But it's really peripheral. Yehuda.
I don't understand the whole case for turkey chocolate. Nobody likes turkey chocolate. Why is the Tintam with gone?
Never say
nobody. I would wager that everyone in this room would rather have chocolate than taste like turkey.
You can sometimes ask the most brilliant conceptual questions. Those are the ones that I like. They make me crazy, but I ask them. Don't ask me a Matthias question. I'm not interested in that. Fine.
In theory, if the turkey chocolate made it taste better, it would be fine.
Yes, it's all, yeah, yeah. Don't have my Chinese about questions you know the answer to. Your conceptual questions are the good ones. Okay. And I appreciate that sometimes, you know, asking the Metzias type questions are the ones that highlight the conceptual ones. But those are the ones that I stay up at night wondering about. Those are the ones you should ask and make me crazy about. Not this. Okay. All right. So let's start with why did I not put it up? Did I not put the rush?
You did.
Not in order. Okay. My papers got messed up in the printer. I was wondering if I put it in the wrong order. So let's take a look at the rush. Who was reading for me just now? Kasdan, you're off the hook.
As far as we got.
I got it.
He couldn't make it safe.
Okay. Ellie.
Yes.
And how long, and as if you take a goy's kalim, which were baluav yayin nesach, or stamina, but that's an important question. Let's assume no difference for the moment, like Rashi, that stamina is also oser b'masha. We saw Tosos. We already saw this Tosos, the Mimimino Tosos, that big Tosos on Sadi Zayin, I think, where Rabbeinu Tam claims that Stam Yenam is Bato B'shishim. Only Yayin Nesach Mamish is Osev B'mashu. But let's ignore that. It's going to come up, but let's ignore that for a moment. So the Mishnah had said that if Yisrael puts his wine in the Goy's Kalim, it's Osir and Osir Bano, according to Rameir, the Chacham say it's Osir B'shishia. So the question is, how long does the wine have to be in there if it's cold? Why, if you put cold, if you have a treif kli and you put some wine in it, let's say you have an earthenware kli, which had yayin nesach balua in it, and now you drink some wine out of it. Presumably, it doesn't answer the wine when you put the kosher wine in. It's just a small amount. It's not in there long enough to be maflit. This is not something a davar cham. If it were very hot, if it had been on the ish, then I understand it should be osir immediately. So, vidikdati. Now, it has to be hechniso b'hen yayin l'kiyum. Now, there are two ways of reading that sentence, hechniso l'kiyum. What are the two ways of reading that, sort of meaning-wise?
You intended to put it
in. Right, is this what you did or what you intended? In other words, you put it in, l'kiyum means that you left it there for whatever amount of time it is, or you put it in there for the purposes of leaving it in that amount of time, and even if you haven't left that amount of time, which the Rosh clearly discusses.
Yeah.
So mashma midvarav.
Mashma midvarav. She in hayayin neser the altar. Valashon dachaku the farish kain. Midelok tani benatani Yisrael toho yayin.
What does it say instead? The yayin shall Yisrael kanus b'hem. It's a funny expression, right? It's not that the Jew put wine there; that the wine of the Jew is gathered in that plate. Okay.
V'gam hadat notzek kain. Delo mistaber kval lememar. Demiyad shenatan l'tocho yayin. Niflat l'tocho yayin. Have nifla b'doch nekli.
Yeah, if everything is cold, it's not pulled immediately.
Yeah,
so ma'af im nefarish. So there it's the reverse. You have a Jew's kalim, and a guy puts his wine in there. If he puts in the wine in there for the purposes of only lakium, it's usher immediately, even though it hasn't reached that stage. So if you want to read Rashi as the inverse here, that's a problem. Why? Even Gezera, right? Shemachnisa nesa ma'isro yayin lefisha nesa, lefisha is still nesa. Gezera.
Gezera as his mama ruba. Gehechid de gazrina b'kli Yisrael venatum l'tocho oved kochavi yayin la'altar. At his mama ruba.
Right, same thing. So af.
Af. Ki eim l'shono mochiach nefereshkein yukom makom nefereshkein benodo ta'ovde kochavim sheshaluni.
Right, we're dealing with a case not like that. Where was the machnis of the kiyum? You have to answer that question. So he says, V'yirai li.
V'yirai li shetzarech shishet b'tofo me'et leit. Bitsoni Bitsoni Polit Obolea the Meit Leit, Vahi Amar Bahulin, the Perkol of Asar, Basa Bahala the Chibashu, the Eat Tre Kule Yome, Bahalba, Shari, the Chib the Shible Asar.
Right, so the Gemara says the Chiddush of Basar B'Chalav is, by the way, it's not, the Chiddush of Basar B'Chalav is not you have Heter plus Heter becomes Issa. You know why that's not a Chiddush? Kelayim. But the Chiddush is that if you take the two and you put them together, you soak the meat and milk all day, so, which normally, now, the Rosh is assuming only Kavosh is Kimavushal, the meat is Mutter, you have to cook it Davka. But everything else, presumably, it's only a Chiddush because by everything else, soaking it, and if you had done the same thing, it would in fact be awesome. So he says, "Umay chidushay."
Umay chidushay kol eser shabatoro nami itre kule yomei eser v'heter v'hadei hadalei shari. Ditzonin lo palet v'lo bala v'i bashu le aser.
You cook it, it's also like basu chal. Elavadai.
Elavadai kol shari surin itre le yom shalem eit leit asire kilu bishlam yachad.
Right, so you leave it in for a whole day. Kule yoma, so then it's aser eser mevoshot, because kavosh. And Basa Mahal, this doesn't apply to, because Derek Bishal Asher Torah. Yes, you know that.
This is a bad read of the Gemara, because the Gemara should have an extreme case here. And it has the minimum way to make it Asher, it's a bad way of phrasing the Chiddush. Sure, it's a Kula Shana or something, it really meant Kula Yom, because in this type of situation, you want to have an extreme case. But even if you do something that's much more than the required minimum.
I'm not sure what exactly they're saying, but what I was going to point out is that from this Gemara, all you learn is that 24 hours for sure would make it Kavosh,
right,
but it could be a lot less.
Right. And it's a problem that should be a lot less. Not only could be, because the Gemara shouldn't have used the minimum case to make its point. It should have used an extreme case. We leave
right.
It long in there.
Right, okay. You're in a very complicated way of saying, kind of getting it to the same point that I'm getting to, which all you know is that 24 hours for sure is Kavosh, but it could be 1 hour is Kavosh also. 1 hour is Kavosh. But yes, Yehuda is saying is correct, is that if the Gemara is trying to show how outlandish the Kula Basa B'Chalav is, that you could leave it even 24 hours, and it's not also worse. And presumed by other Yisurim, even less than 24 hours would be Asa. Okay. Any question now?
No.
Okay.
Ditzoni bitzoni impali tubala v'shehiyam eit le'eit kmo v'vishal. V'haynu kavush. Ditnan v'chol tuch de shivu kemavushal. Aval babasa b'chala v'gzer zakatubu d'derek v'shul Asa Torah. V'im ken hafina minema k'shishaha hayayin v'kan kamed le'eit niflat ko hayayin sh'bedof ne'akli v'oser hayayin.
Note, by the way, there is something odd about this, though, that you should be asking, which we do say, theoretically, halacha l'maisa, why is it aser? Why should it not be aser? Almost definitionally. Yes, if it requires 24 hours to extract the contents of the kli, you should never be able to aser a liquid put in a treif kli on the grounds of kavosh, because by definition, as soon as 24 hours comes, right. Now, the answer to that, what? Yeah.
I was going to say something stupid, but because kavush is kimavushal, so then it's as if you were more of the taste when it's kavush.
So if you wanted to, if in fact it's not true, it might be true. It might be true that all that kavush does to you is if you put a trace liquid in a kosher kli, after 24 hours we assume the kli is absorbed. But in the reverse case, it might be polite, but it only matters for if you hold nosin tam of gamazasa. So, there is another possibility, and I'm sure this must be discussed, and I don't actually understand kavosh. What I mean by that is the following. The way the halachas present kavosh, kavosh is quantum. It's 24 hours or less. Any 1 second less, you mean to tell me that if I leave this, I don't know, chicken in, not milk, but in some thing, for 23 hours and 59 minutes, and I yank it out, you're going to tell me that is no problem. It wasn't kavush, and therefore there are no absorptions in the clay. But if I waited one more minute, all of a sudden my clay tastes like chicken.
You can say that by looking at
it. It's a lot easier.
Maybe you did, but you can't tell time more precisely than by
asking. One at a time. Shrei kali lo mishtanoi, kavachomer tlas arba. Okay. Judah, be prepared to defend yourself. When it comes to what should be fundamentally a mitzias question, I understand. Be'arbaim sahu tovel, be'arbaim sahu chaser, eno tovel. I get that. Even though the shear is based upon, you know, the mitzias of ma'im shekalusha olamahem, could be that we use this that principle to be kovea shear, but all shear are like that in the sense of it's purely arbitrary, right? 40 saw, 39 saw, there's a cutoff point, and they don't define it on a personal level. But by kavush, by definition, every case, it's not a sudden transfer of flavor after 24 hours. So why should that be, Leon?
Well,
Yes, now I remember what I wanted to ask you. So yes. let's say after 23 hours,
you pull it out and then you put it for another hour.
You taste it, and you taste the ister, but you
that it's awesome.
Right. So, but that's what I was going to ask, because if it's not really kombucha yet, but you still taste it, so it doesn't really matter.
So it is. That point is that it's been kombucha.
Right. So I'm saying it doesn't really matter. Like.
Okay, but the assumption is we don't rely upon a kfela, and therefore after 24 hours we're just going to treat it as asa. And if we don't rely upon te'imas yisrael, well, also, you're right, the chiddush before is not a chiddush. If you don't taste it, you don't taste it. If you do, it's asa. But the chiddush is that after 24 hours, it's asa, period. And we don't rely upon taste. But you're right. Reuven.
What about half the degree below yatsalat?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
So I would say there, I think it goes back, I think, to Liam's point, which is, if you taste it and you taste something asr, it will be prohibited. Right? It's really, in a sense, a chumrah. That for those of us who don't rely upon fela, one thing is the same thing true by kavush. So I'll tell you, that works well when you're talking about Nesinas Tam. It doesn't work well by Kol Shehu. Right? You say that there's a certain... In other words, the point is, you can introduce flavor of A into B, and you're still not going to taste it until you cross a certain threshold. So there is a point at which it crosses. It doesn't work well for the Isser Masha. So, okay. But anyway, that's what he says. That the raya from, if they soak it an entire day, it would be mutter, and that's the chiddush.
Ah, so perish of any time, the stam yenan batel v'shishim, but k'sat raya mi yirui shemayim maflitim v'me'id le'id, kol ma sheyechulim lahaflit, aval lo b'pachot me'id le'id.
Okay.
Yeah. Uma sheyayim maflit hakol me'id le'id, v'hi shehu chazak v'yesh lo koach lahaflit, kol avaldo v'dof ne'aflit me'id le'id. וכן אמר לי שכתב אבי העזרי רשי, אבי העזרי, רשי בריא שהיין כנוס בהן לקיום משמע, מתוך דבריו, שאם אין כנוס לקיום לרבנן, מותר אפילו בשתייה, כעניין דלאל.
Okay. You know, we're not going to read this last part. This is just pertinent to start to yayin. Okay. Fine. So the rush is mechadish that shir. Other Rishonim have different shir. Okay, you see it in the Beis Yosef. The Mordechai and Beitza, Tough Reish Ayin Dalit. Okay. Go ahead.
Afilu Kabush, Afilu Shaluk, Pera Kalabasar, Amar Shmuel, Kabush Arayu Kumbabusha, Bukakum Akum Perishashi, Bukhomet, Ababolo, Homet, Eno Kumbabusha. Via Shalomarke, the Tnan, Vered Yasha, and Jakabshu Beshem and Chadash, Chayat Beer, Alma Bolo Homet, who knows in time Kumbabusha. The near the Kabush Mikre. Mikre Shahab Far Shlosha Yamim the Dvar Lach, Das Avikabusha Upoletam, the Koletam, Gedamrim Sakrozara, Kantanim Shalovekochavim Malim Shlosha Yamim, Umaram 8 late, the Kafloto,
Kapoto Kapolo. He's reversing the normal form. Normally we say Kabolo Kapoto, that's how you know how to kasher something. So he says if the way you kasher the Kalim Shalachim, which had, will use coal but had absorbed wine, is the Mina the Iri Gimel Yamim, which some of you may know, because this practice still exists today. In what context? People do it for drinking glasses for Pesach. Mina the Iri Gimel Yamim. Right? So on the assumption that glass is like cheres, and it might have had stuff absorbed, it was coal, so we rely upon Mina the Iri Gimel Yamim. You fill them with water. After 24 hours, just fill it out, replace it with water, and do it a third time. Many of us at this point have separate glasses for Pesach because glass is so cheap. It's a greater challenge for people's storage space than it is actually the cost of the glass. Yes, Matt.
In terms of being bled, that can happen at the exact same time. You don't say like an object is like in the process of being bled.
is what, how are you asking that question?
Well, when I first read this, I kind of thought maybe he meant that it takes 6 days, but then I just didn't think that made sense.
Now, what you're pointing to is a concept that appears in Malicha, that while they've been, and we saw it also, the Gemara has it, by the case we just saw, that the chalav, the piece of meat falls at the boiling chalav, that as long as the chalav is tari being bolea, it's not going to be polei the chalav, which it was bolea. All right, we're going to, so anyway, let's just not deal with that yet. Okay, but so he gives a 3-day period, but he says it can't just be in chometz. It can't be seen something really sharp, because he points out to the mission in Shvius, not Shvus, in Shvius, that it works by Shemin as well.
Fine.
Okay. So really you have another shita here. You have a couple other shitas that may limit the application of this, whether or not it's 3 days versus 1 day, what types of liquids and so on. We assume, bottom line, as we will see, that it's 24 hours, and it doesn't matter what the liquid is. In fact, in other liquids, the shear kvisha might be shorter.
How did they dispute Maham's
book?
It seems to be a very strong
proof. I don't know. Even the Rush doesn't seem to think it's an ironclad proof.
Right, but why not?
I don't know. I've been bothered by that question. Unless Kulayom is La Dafka, it just means a long period of time. Yossi?
I think you might have asked this, but not there. How does the opinion that says that Shrias Yom Lada, the Fushita of the Rush, that's just another way of saying Neis Dais?
What's that?
Shrias Yom.
Yes.
Okay,
that's the Rush. Okay. So we're going to stop here.